Welcome to season two of I Totally Paused, where we're deep diving into your favorite heartthrobs and it girls of the 90s and the early 2000s. I'm Jess.
And I'm Siobhan.
And we are here today with our internet famous friend, Matt Schell. Hi, Matt.
Hey, ladies. How are you? How are you both?
He's someone we once described as our number one special person.
You are. Oh, you make a smile in our hearts. That's what we've always said.
I love it. I love you, ladies.
If you've been listening to us for a while, you've heard us reference when we were roommates in our early 20s, and Matt Schell was basically the fifth roommate.
Oh, yeah.
He was the main character
that was around a lot in our sitcom.
I'm glad, I feel like I've come up in the back.
Well, Matt and I, we all know each other because Matt and I were theater majors together in college, and we always said we were the John Travolta and Uma Thurman of our theater department because we always were cast opposite each other.
Mm-hmm. What made you pick Uma Thurman and John Travolta?
Matt picked it.
They were doing a lot of films together at the time.
Yeah. I thought of a better comparison recently, and now I can't think of
modern one.
Oh, we're like the Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy of
Boston
Theater.
Good one. Mm-hmm.
Do you watch Schitt's Creek?
Hilarious.
Matt?
Oh my gosh. Anne watches it more than I do. Mm-hmm. I love when she watches it. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things that I forget to look for.
I'm in the middle of the last season right now.
Oh, I watched the series finale the other day and I wept through the entire thing.
I'm sure you did.
Holy moly. Yeah. So Matt is a very old, very dear friend of ours, and we are going to get into not an it girl, but we'll allow it in a little bit. But Matt recently became internet famous for a rant about how hard it is to homeschool his two kids in quarantine. And last time I checked, it had 2 million views on Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. It had a viral rate there at full for a while. Where, if you Google what a viral rate is, and it was like a day behind that.
What's a viral rate? I don't know what that is.
The viral rate is, I think it's a million views in about 5 days. We hit 1 million in about 6 days.
Well,
you know what I mean? So if you Googled it, it's a day behind the rate, but for me, that's viral. It went viral.
Sure. Did you do anything or did you do anything when you recorded it? Were you like, I'm going to record this and hopefully it's going to get shared a bunch? Or were you just like sharing a rant on your Facebook page?
It started off just sharing a rant. It was the second rant I had done. And we had also recorded a Morrison video. Dug up this old character from Theatrical Ushery.
Right. Well, Chris was on, I think when people are listening to this, Chris will have been on the last episode.
Okay. Yep.
And we talked about The Art of Theatrical Ushery, which Matt was in.
Based on the character that Chris Banks created, I'd done a Morrison video, and I had a rant right before that. So this was really, it was the third video in total, or actually the fourth, because I had the ice cream truck one. But I was just doing things.
Yeah.
My mom likes that one.
I like that one, too.
It's the perfect length of time, right? I was in the house going stir crazy, of course. And it was on my wife. It was wifey's suggestion that I do a something. Because I usually get this out with my friends. So it started off just me talking to my friends, a way for me to talk to my friends. And like, listen, if y'all listen to this for a couple minutes, you'll feel like you're talking to me.
Oh, for sure. No, it definitely felt like that. That's like one of the reasons I loved it so much. It felt like you were just sitting on my couch, just like in Atlantic City, just going off on a rant.
Yeah, it was very much you. It was exactly you.
And that's why it hit a chord, because it was so natural and wasn't forced.
Mm-hmm. It was just for its own sake, just to do it. And that's kind of the attitude of the whole thing. You know, here on.
If you send it to me, we'll share it on our Instagram for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Okay.
You should put it on YouTube. Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. I was on a radio show in Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Did anything cool come of it?
This guy by the name of John Anthony. He has a radio show in Chicago. It's Black and Right. He's a conservative. He's black and conservative, basically. But, and he contacted me. He said, listen, I would love to have you on the show for a little bit. And I'm like, look, I don't want to, like, take a side. I'm in it for the laughs. He said, everything's not political. Some stuff is just community. Would love to have you on. And then I was like, all right, I'm in. Tell me what I got to do. And he said, just call in at the right time. And then I called in and we just had a real cool chat.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It really went well.
That's what was that.
I was excited about it. So it was like, you know, it's been this little exciting kind of
Did anyone else
quarantine. That's not bad. You know, that's something to look forward to. Watch the numbers go up. It was fun.
Yeah. Did anyone else interesting contact you?
Not yet. Not yet. We'll get there. Ellen will be calling any minute now.
She will. It's still going on. I was just like, someone, like, I've been getting tagged in it from people who, like, I guess, like, don't really know you, but, like, I guess we've been friends a long time, like, know that we're friends. Mm-hmm. So people like Jimmy, like, tagged me in it and was like, have you seen this? I'm like, I have seen this. Because I have. The first, like, I guess when it first started to really pick up, Jared, my husband, was, I mean, you know Jared, but for people listening, Jared was watching it. And he was like, did you see this video that Matt Shell posted? And I was like, no, why? Does it, like, have a lot of views? And I looked at it, and at that point, it had, like, 500,000 views. And you're like, what?
Yeah,
And that's when I texted you, and I was like, you're going viral. You're coming on the podcast. It's happening now.
Because how long has it been out now for? Like, a week?
I think it's in its third week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I think it came out the 30th. What's the day?
Did it catch on, like, right away, or did it take a little while for it to catch on?
It caught on right away.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's the nature of it, because it's this love letter. It's incidentally a love letter to teachers. Like, I was just making a rant, but what came out is this great big thank you to educators. And it's like, look, we knew, but we didn't get it. we're all sorry. You've given us our kids back, and we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And as a full-time homeschooling parent, I think most people who listen to us know this, I was homeschooling my kids before quarantine. That's just what we do. And it was so accurate. I laughed out loud when you were like, why are you crying? It's all of us, even those of us who are used to doing this. This is all of us.
Do you guys have any tips for parents who might be listening? Because a lot of people are kind of our age that might have kids. So what to do with your kids while, you know, anything interesting you came up with?
If you're in the thick of it and you feel like you're about to lose your brains, take a break. Mm-hmm. Walking away for a second definitely helps. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed if recess lasts until 6 p.m. That's okay. No, do what it takes for you to center yourself back up, get enough gall to be like, all right, let's just finish this math.
Yeah. I know it's, like, easy for me to say because I'm not, like, beholden to another teacher or a school district, but I would say remember that at the end of the day, your kids' mental and emotional health is more important than anything that's going on academically right now. They'll learn the stuff. They will. It'll be okay. Just make sure that they feel safe and that, you know, they feel comfortable because their lives have been, like, totally upended too.
Exactly. They're confused too. And they're trying to adjust and they're stressed out. So, yeah, that's a big part of it.
So and do you each have...
They're going through it too. They're not against you. That's the catch. They're not against you.
Do each of you have one activity you could suggest that you're like, oh, this ended up being, like, a good...
You know, it was a really simple thing that kept my kids busy for a while. They taped out, you might have seen this on Facebook, we have, like, a back, like, cement patio in our backyard. And they taped out almost like a stained glass window in painter's tape. So just, like, lines going across, making different, like, triangle shapes and, like, different rectangles and stuff. And then they colored it in with sidewalk chalk and then pulled up the painter's tape.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it made this, like, cool design. And it was, like, easy. Everyone has, like, tape and sidewalk chalk around. So I didn't, like, need anything special. And, like, coloring it in kept them busy for, like, ever. And then they were, like, so excited to pull it up.
That is a good one. I think that's a good idea. I wish I did that when I was a kid.
Yeah,
that's a good one. We've seen that on that one on Facebook. We saw people do it on the fence, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
I've got nothing.
It's okay. Matt's like,
you know what I could say? If you have a Cricut, I made a t-shirt for my daughter. We had fabric markers around. I made a t-shirt on the Cricut. It was like a mermaid design, but I, like, reverse weeded it. So instead of, like, pulling off the border and leaving the design, I pulled out the middle and left the lines and ironed it onto the t-shirt. And now she's coloring it in.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, now she'll have, like, a color in t-shirt, but you have to have a Cricut for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll make them for your kids if you want them.
Thank you. Imagine what the Cricut is.
Oh yeah, it's the kids call it the cutting machine. It does, like, I don't know, it cuts like vinyl. It cuts like adhesive vinyl or like the iron transfer vinyl. So I like design what I want it to do on my iPad and then it connects to the thing through Bluetooth and it cuts it.
Whoa.
And then I iron it on.
One step below a 3D printer, it does everything.
It's like the holy grail of craft supplies. Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm glad I have it right now. So, all right. So we asked Matt Schell who his 90s crush was, if he wanted to talk about. And we were shook.
would never have said what he said.
Chris, I was texting Chris Banks the other day because I was telling him how I was editing our episode and it's like coming out really funny. And I was like, oh, and by the way, we're recording with Matt tomorrow. And if I gave you 1,000 guesses, you would never guess. <He'd pick. laughs> She's not an it girl, but we will allow it because you are currently internet famous and because there is a lot to unpack. We are going to talk about freaking Jody Sweetin.
Full House and Fuller House. There it is. Most of her filmography.
Yep. I'm like, I've been out.
Explain yourself. You know what's funny? I was doing some research on her today and she looks a little bit like An. She looks a little like Matt's wife.
So there's like the foundation. Mm-hmm. What I base attraction off of. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your history with your crush on Jody Sweetin.
My crush on Jody Sweetin. It's
she's probably the least cute Tanner sister.
What? She was like, nah, that's not what I think.
Go ahead.
The oldest sister was like too old. She was like my older sister's age. And the young sister was always a baby. And so like I connected with Jody Sweetin. Well, I connected with her, but I mean like in my head. I was watching some, I remember like back then when I was a kid, I was watching something on Nickelodeon and they were interviewing her and like she said that she was 7 years old and I was 7 years old. I'm like, well, this is perfect.
We're meant to be.
We'll get married. Yeah, so that's that. And I like, I don't know. I think that's, I don't know. That's like, you know, I don't know. Jody Sweetin, and we watched Full House. We always watched Full House at home. And
do you watch Fuller House now?
I don't.
Are you afraid to make An jealous?
I just it would be like seeing an ex-girlfriend.
You should watch it though. It's cute. Full House, as you may know, is my all-time favorite television show.
Seriously?
Oh yeah. Yeah, have you met me? Hi, I'm Jess.
That's why we're doing this.
it's my favorite show. I've seen every single episode. I was obsessed with it as a kid, obsessed with it. I've watched all of Fuller House, and I love it. I'm not sorry.
I've literally done no research for this episode, full disclosure, because I was like, Jessica, I was like, you can run point on this. This is your thing.
This is my jam.
Yeah.
But she, yeah, I feel... We're gonna get into it. As we all know, she had like a tough time. So
a downward tumble because you know, like the child star syndrome thing, I guess.
Yeah, but a good redemption story, which we like. So let's mm-hmm. dive in. She was born on January 19th, 1982 in Los Angeles. She was so here's something I didn't know about Jody Sweetin until I did this research. Her mother was a drug addict who put her up for adoption when she was 9 months old. Whoa. And her father was killed in a prison riot.
Whoa. What was it in prison for?
I couldn't find that. But I read somewhere later that she said, like, Full House ending and, like, that big upheaval in her life was, like, the catalyst for her addiction. But she knows that, like, she would have struggled with addiction issues either way. Like, she doesn't blame having been a child star.
Gotcha.
This the issues that she had later.
Yikes. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So she was adopted by.
I was going to say, it was like, that's what people say is like, you know, you can pass down to your kids. Like, mm-hmm. addiction is like one of those genes that mm-hmm. which I like really believe too.
Yeah. She was adopted by her aunt and uncle, which, like, I just think, I mean, she started acting when she was like 4 years old in commercials. Yeah, before Full House, she did like a ton of like national commercials. And she also had a guest spot on the show called Valerie. But I was just thinking, like, I think it's wild that these people would adopt a baby out of this, like, horribly traumatic situation. Oh. And just a few years later, their first thought is to get her into professional acting.
That's a good point.
Another potentially really toxic and, like, traumatizing situation.
That's a good point. It wasn't her parents. These were her adopters.
Yeah, it was her aunt and uncle. And, like, the story was the same as, like, you always hear, like, everyone said, oh, she's so cute, she's so charismatic, like, you should put her in commercials. But, like, I don't know, you would just think you would be like extra cautious of a kid who came into your care under those circumstances.
Right.
And that's, I guess maybe their thought was to keep her busy if they're like shuttling her off to like,
yeah, I mean, she could play soccer. Or like put her in gymnastics. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, unless like maybe it was one of those things, like maybe her aunt used to do that when she, like her mom took her on things.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they're from LA, so I guess they were like,
if they're from LA, yeah, that's probably. Yeah,
it could be. Mm-hmm.
I think all kids automatically have an agent when they're born in LA or something.
So she does a bunch of commercials. She does a guest spot on Valerie. And then when she is just 5 years old, she is cast as Stephanie Tanner on Full House.
Wow.
She's five. Matt and I both have kids who are almost five.
Yeah, seriously.
Think about that. She was so little, and that set the stage for the rest of her life. That's the thing she's known for. Mm-hmm. She was only 14 when the show ended.
Wow.
Right? Isn't that so interesting? She was so young. And the Olsen twins too, but I think more so for her because the Olsen twins have gone on to like make a name for themselves, like legitimately in fashion. That really set up the rest of her life.
And that's really like your life is just getting started. And that's like all you know when you're when you're five. That's like kind of when you're aware of things and you can really like be, you know, talking to adults and like into conversation.
Yeah, and she just knew that like that gave her positive attention and, you know, it made people laugh and kids always want to like make people laugh. And that was that.
Another way your life.
That was the way, that's what existing was for her right then. That was the world.
And then like in a way your life begins again when you're like a teenager and like going through puberty and everything. And so like, starts her like a new phase of her life and this whole thing ends for her.
Right. It was like really a double whammy. Like 14 is a tough age for anyone.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Much less having like the whole like world she's known like completely upended. So when she was five, she was cast in Full House. That same year, she was in Jim Henson's Mother Goose Stories. And then that's like really it. Like if you look at her IMDb, she's done like a couple TV movies.
She had a couple guest spots,
but she, I think Candace Cameron's kind of got that cornered for the Full House girls. She does like all the Hallmark stuff. She hasn't like really done much. She only had like some crazy, I didn't write it down, but she had like some really crazy small number of credits on IMDb. Like she hasn't done very much at all.
Yeah, they kind of like, pops it around some Full House.
Yeah, I read some
Brotherly Love.
Yeah,
that's the what's the brothers, the Lawrence brothers. She was an episode of that show.
Yeah, there were like a couple random shows where she did like
a couple episodes of Party of Five,
one or two episodes. But around that time, she was having a lot of trouble, so nothing was really like sticking. And we're gonna like get into that in a minute.
It could be like she doesn't care to like go on these auditions and stuff like that. Once you know you're getting addicted to something, like what else?
Right,
do you really
and
about?
Being Jodie Sweetin from Full House, like, is really only gonna carry you so far once the show has ended. And I think, you know, also it was not a secret that she was, you know, she was struggling with addiction. So let's get into like her, all of her issues. So she was 14 when Full House ended. And she said that that's when like everything kind of went crazy. She was struggling with finding her identity. She said, quote, she was looking for other things to fix that and kind of fill the void. Because everything she knew had kind of ended.
And she was probably boredom too, with like way more free time than she was used to.
Sure. She was in high school. She actually went to a high school for the performing arts and studied musical theater. Oh. And just like Aaron Carter, I like imagine a world where she just stayed on that path. Maybe would have been different for her. But she was like, you know, having trouble obviously in high school. She graduated. She did end up going to college, but she failed out of college with a 0.9 GPA.
You have to like try to get a 0.9. That's just stop showing up.
That's like you get, you like maybe get the points for attendance.
Yeah.
And she said in an interview that I was reading, she, you know, she convinced her aunt and uncle to let her live on campus. And she was like, you know, my mind was already so warped with alcohol and the drugs that in my mind, I was like, great. So like Monday through Thursday, I'll stay at school and like party and like do whatever. And then I'll come home on the weekend and rest. And then I'll come back and do it again. And she was like, and at no point did I think like, oh, I also have to go to class.
Yep.
Like I can't just like, I can't just like stay here.
I'm sure kids were excited to have her at their school too, and probably were like,
"Look who it is!" Yeah, she probably was able to eat that up. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Always walk in, so to be the hero. Not hero, but the center of attention.
She drank for the first time when she was 14 at Candace Cameron's wedding. When she had her first drink. I can't
imagine Candace allowed that.
Yeah. Well, apparently that like sparked some controversy. So Jodi Sweetin said, I probably had 2 bottles of wine and I was 14. That first drink gave me the self-confidence I had been searching for my whole life, but that set the pattern for the kind of drinking that I would do.
You know John Stamos gave her those bottles.
We're going to get to him. And you know I love him, but we're going to get to him.
Oh, so, no. This goes deep.
Kirk Cameron was probably so judgy at that wedding when he saw that. Yeah. You know him on his high horse.
I do. So, you know Kurt. So when... And we've been talking about the Cameron siblings a lot this season on the podcast. We have to do an episode about
just
that.
Just like judging them for being close to God. That's what we're judging them for.
Yeah, well, for being preachy about it and for hating gay people is what we're judging them for.
That we'll always judge you for.
Right. So apparently she came out with this story. So Jodi Sweetin wrote a book in like 2009, maybe like around that time.
All the people with called, the book's called.
It's called... You guys, it's called Unsweetened.
I mean, you gotta go for the pun if your name's
you gotta just commit, right? I was gonna listen to it, but it's not on Audible.
Jodi, get on it.
We're in a quarantine. Right. I can't be out buying books. So yeah, you know, I had some book.
That's something for you.
I had some Audible credits, but it was not available, so I didn't get to listen to it. But apparently in the book, that's the first time she tells that story about drinking for the first time at Candace Cameron's wedding. Yeah. And apparently there was like a lot of controversy because Candace Cameron is like so outwardly like conservative and, you know, her Christian values and whatever. But I think a lot of it was like not so much like, oh, okay, how could Candace Cameron have done this? Just that like, oh, this must kill Candace Cameron to like hear this now.
Got out? Was that something that like got out? Her drinking at getting drunk?
No, she just, but she wrote it in the book. That was like when the story first came out. And I think that was like one of the things that like when you read articles about the book, that was one of the things that journalists like latched onto. And it was
because I remember that
too. Circulated a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she starts drinking when she's 14 at Candace Cameron's wedding, and it just like escalates from there. She does meth, she does crack, she does coke. She in the book apparently talks about snorting meth in the bathroom at the premiere of Mary-Kate and Ashley's movie New York Minute.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And there are pictures of her there, and you can kind of see she's like kind of like hanging on like whichever Olsen twin it is, and the which I can't tell them apart, but the Olsen twin is kind of like backing up from her and Candace Cameron and like someone else. I think Dave Coulier is in the picture too. We'll find it for the Instagram.
They're like holding her up basically.
But they all like you can just tell her kind of like uncomfortable. She's the only one with like dark like sunglasses on, but she says that like she feels like at the time she was like pulling it off. She says that when you look back at pictures on that time, like she doesn't even really look like that strung out, which I guess
how many
she doesn't
times
look
do you think you're
that
like drunk
strung
and
out you're... right, but she doesn't look
imagine great. Us like remember how like times you think you're drunk, you're like no one's gonna know that I'm drunk when I walk into the store. When
I say the all the time one of the things I am most grateful for is that at the time that we were all like going out drinking and partying all the time, we still brought our digital cameras to the bar, and before you could put a picture on the internet, you had to plug the camera into your computer, look at all of the pictures, like
there
was no like drunk steps. Throwing it on the gram from your phone. Thank God.
You couldn't just send it right to the cloud.
No.
But if you're doing rails of meth and then still carrying out the night,
it was the middle of the day too.
Oh,
yeah, I'm looking at the pictures right now. It's a daytime premiere.
So yeah.
I think I see a school bus in the background.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's not great. It's not a great look.
Jodi.
It's also so Lori Loughlin's next... pictures during happier times.
Oh, Lori. That's a whole other story.
That's a story for another day.
Oh, yeah. So over the next decade, she makes like a few attempts at having a comeback. She does a couple Lifetime movies, all those little appearances that we talked about, but she like can't pull it together. Her addiction is just too much. In 2008, she checked herself into rehab, and let's see, she had a couple stints in rehab, but 2008 is when she got sober for good.
She didn't have any relapses?
did that
in? No, she did. That's not the first time. Let's see. The first time she went into recovery, I think I talked about it, was during her first marriage. In like, let's say she first went into recovery maybe in like 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm. And she finally gets sober for good in 2008. During that time, she became a certified drug and alcohol counselor, which is nice. She was like doing that as a career for a little bit before Fuller House came back together. Mm-hmm. She says that she finally decided she had to get sober when she drove drunk with her baby in the car.
Yeah, she took both of their lives, yeah.
And she says, that was the big rock bottom. From that day forward, it's not funny. She says, from that day forward, I threw myself into going to AA and avoided people who do blow off of their coffee tables.
Yeah.
What you gotta do, girl.
I found an article from 2008 where it's like Jodie Sweetin, she's like not allowed to be alone with her baby. Mm-hmm. And she had to like wasn't able to see her without supervision. Mm-hmm. And that was she drove drunk with the baby in the car.
She has unsupervised like shared custody of her kids now, but to this day her custody arrangement with her second husband says that either one of them can request a hair follicle test at any time from the other.
So
she did pay the price for, you know, she did like have to own up for her mistakes.
Mm-hmm. I can't get past doing rails on meth in like for a daytime premiere.
I didn't even know
like that meth was something people took up the nose.
I didn't know that.
I don't think I've ever to my knowledge, I have never known someone who did meth. The three of us had a friend back in the day who, it was like a whole big fiasco, but in the end, after the fact, we ended up finding out that he was on crack, which explained a lot.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
Yeah.
He was on that's crazy.
Explained so much. That was so
explained hard. So much. Do you remember, that was like it was easily like a year after the fact, and I was still waitressing, and I was talking with like someone who like started working at the rush. I was waiting at an Outback who started working at the Outback where I worked, and we realized that we like both knew this person. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, we're not friends anymore because he just kind of like went off the rail and like it got really dark and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, because he was doing crack. And I said, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And it turned out like that this guy knew, I think was probably his dealer, knew like exactly how much he was doing. And I still remember, you know, you're not supposed to like be on your phone when you're waitressing, but I went into the bathroom and pulled my phone out and called both of you immediately.
Yep.
And was like, listen to this shit. Wait. Hold on.
And then
I remember, can wait. I need to discuss this.
I remember he would be gone for days, but he was so awful at that point that we were just so happy he was gone. We didn't ask questions or care.
You were happy for the break.
This is someone who, like, to give you an example, threw a party in our shared apartment the night of my grandfather's funeral and didn't understand why I was mad.
Yeah, and would invite strangers he would meet on the street.
Strangers. Yes.
Yeah.
He's clean now. He went through a 12-step program. He reached out to me when he was making his amends.
Well, that's awesome.
I'm sure I told you that at the time. Mm-hmm. That was like, I don't know. It was like shortly after my daughter was born, and she'll be 5 in August. So like almost 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me on Facebook and said that he, you know, wanted to talk to me, wanted to make amends, and asked if we could get together. And I said, you know, I'm not sure that I'm comfortable meeting up with you in person, but I'm like happy to talk to you here, and I'm glad that you're clean, and I'm glad that you're like getting yourself together. And we like chatted a little bit, and that was cool.
Yeah, like that was good.
Yeah, and obviously
to be fair, he had a lot of demons. Like he told me when we talked during that conversation that he was gay. We knew that, but he wasn't out to his family. And we found out that after we stopped talking to him, he came out to his parents and they sent him to conversion therapy.
Oh, jeez.
Which is illegal. I probably told you that at the time.
Right? Yeah, it was like a thing anymore.
It's not legal.
I didn't realize
Think it was a thing. I didn't think that was a thing at the time. I thought that it would like was a long gone remnant.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Creepy
no.
to know. Oh, that sucks.
So yeah, it was sad, and luckily he's like clean now, but to my knowledge, I have never known someone who used meth. She started using meth, Jodie Sweetin started using meth So she married a cop that she met in college. She was only 20 years old when she married him. And she started using crystal meth during that marriage and was able to like keep it a secret from him for like a really long time.
That is wild. You can like get into like a relationship with someone and then like, I don't know, just imagine like getting into a drug like after you met your husband and wife. Like, who are you hanging out with? And,
getting
like,
into meth.
Yeah, it's like
you are married to an officer of the law.
And again, that's, I think she's probably just bored. I think that's a lot of it too, is like these
demons. She did say at one point that she up until like 2013 was still like living off her full house money. Like, she didn't really have to work. Like, it sounds like her aunt and uncle did a good job of like taking care of her money. It paid for her college education. It eventually paid for her rehab. It paid for, you know, she bought a house. So she didn't like really have to work. She did have like that full house money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she might've just been like, you know, idle hands.
Yeah. Like a stay at home wife.
And no purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. So well, she says though that at that time it was an all day, every day addiction.
Addicted to meth and he didn't realize, and he's a cop.
That's remarkable.
Apparently. Not a very good
impossible. Like, when it's your job, you know, someone's like on those drugs.
I think, like, you know, we see what we want to see a little bit.
I guess
that's possible. Yeah.
Sorry, he's the worst cop ever. Sorry.
Yeah, he's a horrible cop. No, it's true.
He's not very good at it.
So during that time, she went on like some bender, and her family like finally realized it was a serious problem, and that was the first time she went to rehab. And she and her husband end up divorcing over it.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, she, you know what's also is like funny about Jodie Seaton? She's never been linked romantically to anyone famous. They're all like random guys.
Cause she kind of like was out of the game when she was like 14, 15.
Right. And she wasn't, reputation wasn't great.
Right.
Who would like want to be linked with
her? I'm sure that's another thing. After that New York Minute premiere, people were like talking, even if they didn't know what she was doing, they probably could tell like there's something was up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in 2008, she marries a transportation coordinator, and she had her first daughter. And he apparently quit his job right after marrying her, and they were just, like, living off of her full house money.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Which, like, what apparently this douchebag later tried to defend himself and was like, well, I was being a full-time stay-at-home dad. Like, what was she doing? She wasn't working. Like, I understand she was a drug addict, but, like, so, and when they...
Like, well, you know, Jessica, on, like, Teen Mom, when it's, like, how kind of, like, Liz always talks about Janelle and how, like, Janelle sits in, like, her she shed smoking pot and, like, David takes care of the kids. Like, it was probably that situation.
That's true, yeah.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
So they end up separating, and when they separated, it was revealed in court that they were completely broke. Their house was in foreclosure. They had blown through like all the full house money.
Well, they were both.
How far has that really taken them?
Right, because you know she's been living on it presumably since she was like 18 and came into control of it.
In the rehab. That stuff's not.
So this is when they separate, and this is when she turns back to drugs again. And that was when it was that year. That she says that she hit her rock bottom when she drove drunk with their daughter in the car. And in 2008, that was when she got sober for good, finally. In 2010, she marries DJ Morty Coyle. I don't know who he is. He's a DJ.
Like a real DJ?
I guess.
DJ name,
they took very trashy maternity pictures. I'm sorry, Jody, but they are a hot freaking
mess. I gotta find
them. Yeah, look them up. We'll put them on Instagram. They separated in 2013. This is the guy who she has the custody agreement with, saying that, you know, either one of them can demand a hair follicle test. She said something that I thought was very wise about this divorce. So when they divorced, he started telling people that she had relapsed and was back in rehab, which was not true.
Well,
that's and she up. Was saying, yeah, and she was saying in an interview how, like, you know, you think that you have like a good relationship with this person, even if things go bad, you think it's going to be respectful, and unfortunately that wasn't the case. And she said, you never really know someone until you break up with them. Which,
see the ugly.
Yeah, girl. Yep. So that was when, like, she finally got clean, and she was just kind of laying low for a while, until Fuller House premiered. Around the time that Fuller House premiered, she was dating some guy named Justin Hodak. They broke up, and now she has a restraining order against him.
Oh
man, this girl is very unlucky in love. She
does not know how to pick them.
She is very unlucky in love. Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. So she does Fuller House, which was successful. Fuller House is going to end this year in, like, I think it's like fifth season. It did pretty well. In 2016, she did Dancing with the Stars, which was kind of like a nice like comeback for her.
Try something. Mm-hmm.
Which was funny because her, if you recall, in Full House, her being a dancer was like often a plot point on Full House.
No, I don't recall that.
Oh yeah, it comes up a lot. She's like very serious about dance.
What kind of dancer was she?
Mostly hip hop. We'll try to find like some clips of her dancing on, she, on like, Fuller House.
I wonder if she grew up to be in the Missy Elliott videos. Is that what like Fuller House is about?
Oh my God, she can only. Oh, in Fuller House, she's like
hers famous... a full so like in fly Fuller girl. House,
she's like a famous DJ. Shut up! But it's funny. The joke is that she goes by DJ Tanner, and DJ's like, "There's already a DJ Tanner."
Stephanie, a famous DJ.
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen any of Fuller House.
She cancels her like DJing engagement in like Ibiza to stay home and help DJ raise her kids.
Cause DJ becomes a widow, right?
Yeah, DJ marries a firefighter who dies like in a fire, and she has three young boys. That's so really Fuller up. House, it's really sad. So Fuller House is about if they have the house, Danny like gives her the house because he's moving to LA to do like a new morning show with Becky. And he gives her the house, and she's like, I'll be fine being a single mom, but Stephanie and Kimmy Gibbler move in to help her raise her boys.
So Jesse,
it's exactly Full House, but it's women now.
But then, yeah, okay. That's cool.
No, I want to know what happens. So Jesse and Becky, they all live in LA now.
Yeah, so they go to LA because so you know how Jesse and or Becky and Danny had Wake Up San Francisco.
Yeah.
So now they're gonna have like Wake Up America. Yeah, Wake Up. So they're gonna have like Wake Up America, I think it's called. Like they're getting like some kind of like national morning show. Oh, Jesse obviously is moving to LA with them, and Jesse is gonna be writing music for General Hospital, and he tells us that show always has the best actors.
Oh,
haha. John Stamos.
Wink.
Yeah. The first episode of that show has a lot of And so the first episode of that show has a lot of cheesy like wink winks. But like the goofiest one is about the twins. So they're not on it, and they kind of said like, you know, acting was something we were like put into when we were really young, but like given the choice as adults, it's like not really something we want to do. And they're like legit fashion, you know, moguls now. So like they don't really have time, and they like just didn't, they didn't want to do it. They said, you know, thanks but no thanks. And Dave Coulier, I remember reading something he said, he made a good point. He was like, you know, we all feel like so bonded, and we all have this like connection, but they don't even remember, like, you know, the time
show
together. Like they don't have the same connection, so they didn't do it. But in the first episode, when we're like getting that scene where everyone's really catching up on where everyone is, Danny says, Michelle sends her love, but she couldn't be here because she's running her fashion empire in New York. And then they all just kind of look at the camera, and it's like, all right, we get it.
And then like that explains that.
Yeah, but and then like they really like they don't mention her again. But it's like if you're like me and like grew up on and like freaking loved Full House, then like you'll love Fuller House. Oh, like it's very like Steve is in it.
Where's Dave Coulier? Where's
he's a comic in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
That's appropriate. That works.
Moved on.
That tracks.
And he's married. We see his kids. There's an episode where we meet his kids and they're like monsters. It's really funny.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Kimmy Gibbler has like a hot husband. He's like a race car driver.
Oh, that's funny. I like that happy ending.
I mean, you guys are quarantined. You have nothing else to do. You should really watch Fuller House.
Maybe.
It's
I'm
really
rewatching Feud, the Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, Ryan Murphy series.
I've been rewatching Downton Abbey for a rewatch.
What were you going to say about John Stamos when you said, I'll get to John Stamos?
Yes. I've been waiting for you this whole time.
This is actually like really sweet. So John Stamos, who, you know, I love John Stamos.
We saw John Stamos in Atlantic City.
Yes, we did. Have we told that story on the podcast before?
It's not that much of a story.
It's one of my favorites. It's funny. So when we lived in Atlantic City on the 4th of July, the Beach Boys were playing on the beach. And we went because we knew that sometimes John Stamos plays the drums for the Beach Boys. And our roommate Josh was like, you know, it's going to be so crowded down there. It's going to be crazy. John Stamos isn't going to be there. You guys are crazy, blah, blah, blah. We were like, no, he might be. Like, what if we find out later that he was? And we like lived right up the boardwalk and we weren't there. I will never, ever forget it. So we ended up, like, you know, it's still the Beach Boys. Like, it was still cool.
Yeah, it was still like, we're like, let's go.
So we went, and like halfway through, they said, we want to introduce a friend of ours who sometimes plays drums with us when he's not busy learning his lines for ER. And we lost our goddamn minds. Like, we were
so... Put that in a time placement.
Oh my god!
At a time and place, John Stamos on ER.
It was
John Stamos
so
when I was working up. He was the first person that I got starstruck over, and I didn't even like. I didn't even really interact
He's
with him.
He's so beautiful. You can tell us he was so beautiful, right?
He's very dreamy. It was the Maxim party, so I'm, you know, it was my first summer working there. Behind the scenes, all this stuff, and it's Maxim party, all these, you know, gorgeous women, everything's going, it was perfect.
Yeah. If and you I, don't know but, Atlantic City, the Borgata is like the fanciest hotel in Atlantic City, and Matt worked there for a long time.
Yeah. I'm still on call over there as a stagehand. We're the guys always you see setting up the joint. You know what I mean? Setting up the stage.
Wait, you're still on call as a stagehand? That's so funny.
I am. I'm full time at the conference center at Harris. So obviously, you know, they're all shut down right now. But conferences were like, they started getting shut down early.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at the Maxim party, and my boss said, he was kind of tossing me one. He was like, "Look, just wait here. I'll come back when I need you." I'm like, "All right, perfect." And then that was like, "Look, enjoy the show." And while I'm standing there, John Stamos comes walking by. Like, there's a couple cameras following him. He does this interview. And I'm like, "Holy crap, it's John Stamos."
Uncle Jesse.
Like, he's right there. That was the first time I was starstruck doing that job.
Love John Stamos. I feel like, I know there are some stories about him being a little bit problematic, but I feel like in his heart, he is such a gem of a human. When we found out that John Stamos was having a baby, I could not have been more excited if like I actually knew him and was actually going to meet that baby one day. Because he's just like, he's so good with kids. Yeah, right, exactly. And like, we're not playmates. He's like just so good with kids. He said, I liked him on, what was that show he did with the kid from Drake and Josh? Josh, what's his name? What's the guy's name? And he had that show Grandfathered. And I liked it, and it only got one season, and I thought it was really cute.
Oh, yeah.
Or he plays like a guy who like...
But I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, you know who I mean. Uh-huh. He was the guy, the kid's like dad, who he like never really knew. But then the kid, and he like has him really young, and they don't have a relationship, and then the kid kind of comes to find him because the kid has a kid really young. So John Stamos is like youngish, you know, handsome playboy John Stamos, and then like finds out he's gonna be a grandfather, and that was like the whole premise of the show, and I liked it because I love me some John Stamos. So Jodie Sweetin, I didn't know this was a thing, but she was honored at the 10th annual Experience, Strength, and Hope Awards, which honor individuals in the entertainment industry who share their honest journey from addiction to recovery.
Okay, nice.
Which, you know, that's nice. I didn't know that was a thing. John Stamos presented her award to her, and this is what he said. You ready? Okay, got your tissues?
Lay it on me.
He said, "It took me a long time disappointing everyone who cared about me, culminating in a terrible DUI where I could have killed somebody. I hit rock bottom. Jodie lovingly allowed me to walk my own path, and when I finally humbled myself to ask for your help, I realized that the perky little blabbermouth had become the master of wisdom and was right by my side during some of the most difficult days of my life. Thank God my wife and my new son will only know me as a sober husband and father. This is Jodie's legacy in my life."
Wow, I had no idea.
I didn't either. Apparently when he decided he was ready to go into like recovery, she arranged to have 12-step meetings for him at his house.
Wow.
I had no idea she played such a big part in his recovery. That's amazing.
I know. God bless.
And she was, right. He met her, she was 5 years old when he met her.
Yeah. Isn't that like so crazy. Special?
That's wow. So, I love that.
I know. That made all this research I did about her worth it.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's such a sweet ending.
Yeah. So she, like I said, when Siobhan and I were texting, when you first said that this was your crush, and we were like, oh my God. We were like, well, she's got a good redemption story, which, you know, we like. She, in 2016, the year that Fuller House came out, she was the third most Googled actress of the year.
Yeah.
I think because Fuller House came out and was popular, and I think people know that there's like drama with her. So people were like, oh yeah, Jodie Sweetin, wasn't she on drugs? And like, you know.
There's gotta be a story like, where she been.
Mm-hmm. Googling her. Getting back really quickly to her on Dancing with the Stars, she and her partner came in sixth place, and apparently it was like a big controversy because the week that they were voted off, they got a perfect score on their performance. I was saying she's like the Constantine of Dancing with the Stars. Oh, Matt, did you know that Constantine came on our podcast?
No, seriously?
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah,
you should listen to the episode. It's called Constantine Interrupted because we talk over him the whole time. But he, you know, he was, you know what, he was my favorite on American Idol too. I like geeked out a little bit to talk to him, but he was so gracious and so generous with his time. I, on a whim, we wanted to do an American Idol episode, and I was like looking for like American Idols who like aren't that famous and maybe would come on our podcast. Mm. And I came across his like booking information online, and I was like, there's no way, but like, you know, it can't hurt to like send an email, let me ask. And I emailed his manager, and his manager emailed us back the next day and was like, he's happy to do it, let us know some dates that work for you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He FaceTimed us and he talked to us for about an hour. He was so sweet. He was so awesome. Generous. And maybe a month later, he played at this little theater in North Jersey, and we drove up to see him, and he did a meet and greet. We got to meet him after. Mm-hmm. We were like, do you remember us? You did our podcast.
And there's a picture on the Instagram.
Yeah, we took a picture with him, and he was really nice. And he was like, I had such a crush on him when he was on American Idol. And he's a Tony Award nominee now.
The show was great. He did a great show.
Oh, my God. He was incredible. He was nominated for a Tony for... Rock of Ages, which he was in on Broadway, but also he was a producer on that new Def West production of Spring Awakening.
Okay, so he's still doing something with himself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he does like a lot of Broadway stuff. But yeah, Constantine, friend of the pod, Constantine Maroulas, he was very, very sweet and very gracious with us when we, and at the time, I think our episode with him is maybe our third episode. We had like two episodes of this podcast off, and we were like, hey. We're big fans. You know, we know he's busy, but we just thought he would ask, and he said yes. So you never know until you ask.
Yep.
We have Instagram DMs out right now to a couple 90s heartthrobs that we're hoping might just say yes because they're quarantined.
Yes, our most requested.
Yeah, our most requested. We should just say it because maybe if you're listening and you know them, you can put in a word for us. We have had requests for Devin Saw.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Okay.
Thomasy and Nicholas.
Mm.
And Clayton Snyder, who was on Lizzie McGuire. He was Ethan Kraft on Lizzie McGuire. So we did a big episode about that too. With another American Idol. Did you watch American Idol this season?
No.
Or last season?
I haven't seen it in a while. I stopped watching TV. I don't even know what happened.
This girl, Margie Mays, was like heavily featured on last season and this season, and she was another one. I sent her an email and asked, and she was like, sure. And we told her to pick what movie she wanted to talk about, and she picked Lizzie McGuire and then talked to us about it for 3 hours because she is a gem. An absolute gem of a human.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Jodie Sweetin is the Constantine of Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. That might be our episode title.
Yes, that's
and
a
now
long.
she travels to colleges and talks about addiction and recovery, and she does Fuller House, and that's where she is now.
Well, no, see, that's not bad. She came back around. She recovered, sprung back in the back on TV.
So, how do you feel now that I've walked you through Jodie Sweetin's life and
more
career?
Complete. I feel far more complete. It went from a crush to like an entire relationship now.
Now you have such history with her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now she's it's still there. When I see her now, I'm still like, oh, there she is.
Because she looks like your wife.
I know, man. Like I can't watch it around her.
The kids would like Fuller House. You should watch it.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I used to make my kids watch Full House, and then Fuller House came out, and Judah would like ask for it, but he would be like, can we watch the one where they're all a little bit older?
Watch that new one.
Yeah. No problem.
It's tough getting things.
Unrelated kind of podcast news. I feel like we need to pay our respects on the podcast to Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, who passed away from complications with COVID-19 I think last week. He wrote the song That Thing You Do. We talked about him on the podcast.
Yeah, we talked about how it was the guy from Fountains of Wayne who wrote it.
Yeah, we talked about how when they were making the movie That Thing You Do, they put out this like call. It was like basically a contest, and they said they needed a song that like sounded reminiscent of that like early 60s pop feel, and it had to be titled That Thing You Do. And we said at the time we would listen to an album of all the songs that almost but didn't quite get picked. But Adam Schlesinger wrote the song that we all know, That Thing You Do, and unfortunately he passed away last week from complications with COVID-19.
We're losing a lot of artists.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I mean, I guess obviously because it's like running so rampant in New York, a lot of the Broadway community is very ill. So it's sad, and our thoughts are with you know, his family and his loved ones. He was a good friend of Taylor Hanson. They were in Tinted Windows together, so I actually saw him in concert with Tinted Windows.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, you know that story. We saw Tinted Windows. Tinted Windows is Taylor Hanson's like side band.
Is it the one you saw Jared?
Yeah, we saw them open at the Borgata. We saw them open for No Doubt.
Oh yes,
it was opening night of No Doubt's reunion tour.
Yep.
And it was like the best night of my life because I got to see No Doubt and Taylor Hanson in one magical event. But that band is like, Adam Schlesinger was in it, Taylor Hanson, I think like someone from the Smashing Pumpkins is in it. It's like kind of like an all-star like band, like side project.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, he definitely left a great legacy though. He left some bops.
Yeah. Yeah, tons of bops. He wrote Stacey's Mom.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got it going on.
He was writing the music for Sarah Silverman's musical that she's working on right now.
Sarah Silverman is working on a musical?
Yeah, yeah.
I watch that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be funny. He was writing the music for it. Yeah, so did you see it on Instagram today? Siobhan, I was going to tag you, but I saw it when I was under the Our Totally Paused Pod Instagram. The cast of That Thing You Do is going to be doing a reunion streaming on YouTube, I think like at the end of this week, and it's going to be a fundraiser for like one of the COVID relief.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so we'll have to make sure we watch and then we can go live on Insta.
100%. So happy.
No, have you seen that movie, Matt? Do you know that movie? Do you know the movie That Thing You Do?
I believe so. It's one of those like makeover movies, and then now that the nerdy chick, the hot chick. Course it isn't. I wasn't talking about that.
Tom Hanks directed and starring our Lord and Savior Tom Hanks.
It's about like a 60s like boy group, kind of like Beatles-esque, that is like one hit wonders.
Like one hit wonders. They and Tom go Hanks viral. Is like their no manager. Way. They do, yeah.
I remember those trailers. Yes.
Oh, it's so good. I didn't see it. It's so good. You should watch it. Yeah. You should put that on your quarantine watch list. It's such a good movie.
Girl, my list
one of my
is
favorite
so long.
Favorites.
I don't know why.
Bump that thing you do up the list. It's a great
I'll slide
one.
It up.
You would really like it. It's a good like feel good movie.
Yeah, it'll make you happy. If you want something that's like will put you in a good mood. That's
it's like easy to watch. It's fun. It's got great music. Liv Tyler's in it.
Okay. All right, I'll check it out.
She's my 90s girl crush.
It's kind of Charlize Theron's in it. It's like an
Charlize
early
Theron is in it, yeah.
Come on. That's one of those
Ethan Embry.
Nerdy girl movies, right?
Ethan Embry. Can't Hardly Wait? Yeah, kind of.
I don't know.
That's on Netflix. I was just looking at that. That's the one about like the party after they graduate.
Mm-hmm. The whole movie takes place that one night at the party.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's one of my favorite high school movies.
I'm surprised we never covered that on the podcast. When we get back to movies.
It was on the list.
On the list. Yeah. When we get back to movies, that's one we're going to have to. So what are you watching? Give our listeners some recommendations for quarantine watches.
I'm not watching anything. That's what drives me crazy. And I've tried getting into stuff, but I don't know. There were a couple things I was watching. Let me think. Because I don't watch a lot of TV. And I tend not to like watch a lot of even like Netflix and stuff. And I think that has a lot to do with the kids. Because the things that I want to watch, I usually can't watch around them.
Mm-hmm. You know I do all my TV watching after they go to bed.
And that's the thing. By the time I get them to bed, I'm like, you know what? Let me just go to sleep.
Haven't watched Tiger King yet?
have you watched Tiger King yet?
I have not watched Tiger King.
Oh, that's a good part. You should. Just to know.
Just so you can understand, like, you know, what's going on in, like, on the internet. You
should watch Tiger King. You know, uniting the country.
Weirder with that guy.
What?
From what I understand, it just gets weirder and weirder with that guy. Oh, and I want to see it. I do want to see it. But
you think it's about Big Cat, but it's you have no idea.
You do not know. You think
that's at the top of the list.
Yeah, top of the list for sure. You will binge it in one night, I guarantee.
Did you guys see that video? I wish I remember the girl's name. I guess she's like a comedian, but she posted this really funny video, and it's like herself 4 months ago trying to like prepare herself now without like, you know, she says like, I can't tell you too much because like butterfly effect, but trying to, or it's herself now trying to like prepare herself 4 months ago for what's happening.
To warn her
with like herself. COVID, yeah. And so she's saying things like, you know, she's like, you're just going to want to get like all your money out of the stock market. And like, it's funny, herself 4 months ago says something about like, oh, does it have to do with like the Australian wildfires? Because I really feel like that's going to be like the biggest thing in 2020. And her like current self is like, the what? Oh yeah, the fires. No, that's not like, but she goes through, you know, she said, it smells like you're going to want to get all your money out of the stock market. And like, you know what, maybe just go make a Costco run. And like, you know, do you have like any indoor hobbies that you can do? And she says, like, at one point, like, well, you know, or she says, like, get a puppy. And herself 4 months ago says, like, well, I'm not going to have time for a puppy because I have a lot of travel coming up. And she's like, no. But then, like, well, I think it might be the very last line. She goes, so what do you know about the world of big cats?
Well, oh, that sounds great. I'll have to look that up. Right,
I think I shared
that. Oh, yeah.
So, Matt, where can our listeners find you on the social media? If they want to help you go further viral.
I am on YouTube, Matt Shell, IV, MattShellIV.
Like, subscribe to you now. Be like me, people, and subscribe to Matt.
Subscribe, like, share, and subscribe. That is the nature of all things YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe. And I'm also on Instagram, Matt Shell. Everything's Matt Shell or Matt Shell IV. There's hundreds of Matt Shells out there, but I'm the only like, I'm like the real one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And on Facebook at Matt Shell IV.
Oh yeah, your viral has 32,000 on YouTube. Not bad.
It's not bad. Get some YouTube traffic. You know, some traffic there. Cause some groups, some people were, it was like Smithville School sent it to their staff in an email. They sent the link to them in an email. So people were sharing the links. Yeah. Oh yeah. It was really cool. And then they, you know, they posted the link on their Facebook group.
Oh.
It became this whole teacher thing. It became this whole, you know, ode to the teacher.
You should put it on Reddit under the funny tab. The subreddit.
One of
my friends did.
One of your friends did.
Somebody did that for me. Yeah. Somebody got ahead of me on that one. And
I wonder.
Yeah, I forget how to find that one though. I don't really know how to read it.
Okay, cool. Well, you can find me on all social media platforms at Jess Paused Pod.
And you can find me at Sio Monroe.
And you can find us on Instagram at Totally Paused Pod and on Twitter at Totally Paused Pod.
Doing it right now.
Anything else you want to plug? Anything else people should look for?
I don't know. Did I say Matt Shell IV yet? Did I say that before?
Yep.
Matt Shell IV. That's all, yo. And you know, stay safe, stay sane.
Stay home. Stay home.
If you think of any other it girls or anybody you want to talk about it, let us know. We'll give you another chance. Nice. Just kidding. Just kidding.
This has been a pleasure. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Getting us into your busy press schedule.
It was a pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you on Zoom. Zoom's running the world right now.
Zoom, bank.
Good heavens. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's another thing that girl says in the video when she says, like, pull all your money out of the stock market. And then she goes, you know what? Actually, you might want to put a little bit of money into Zoom. And her, like, whole self is, like, the conferencing software? Yeah.
All things video conferencing.
I gotta find this. This sounds good.
Right. Yeah, it's on. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll find it.
Okay.
All right, friends. And we're
outy.
Whoa. Oh,
right. Things.